Well, dear brethren, it's a real privilege to be here and to be the recipient of so many of the Lord's blessings today. We really appreciate the topic of overcoming and the lessons that we've had by our three servants earlier. The testimony meeting we're going to participate in, has been said before, this is your meeting. This is an experience meeting where we can share how the Lord has led in our lives and we can help one another. And we want to make sure that we're prepared to receive the Lord's blessing as we help one another in sharing the experiences that He's given to us. The meeting will be a little bit different than other testimony meetings in that it's topical, and the topic is overcoming. And we'd like to share with one another experiences in our lives that have to do with overcoming. How we have overcome, how we failed to overcome, how we've been given these opportunities, how we've learned by that and been strengthened by that. Just to sort of whet our appetites, I just want to share a few thoughts about overcoming and two examples that are given to us in the Scriptures. One is in Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh I will grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. And this is really our ultimate goal, to reach that position. And but that's not a simple, direct thing. There are a lot of things involved in doing that, which we'll share with one another today. But when we look at this word overcome, or overcometh as it is here, it comes from Strong's number 3528, and which is nikao, which means to conquer or overcome and prevail, get the victory, which is a very direct thought. But it also comes from 3529, which is nike, which means the means of success, or how are we actually going to overcome? How do you get the victory? These are some things we want to keep in mind, because the goal of the previous services was the process. How do we do this? And we know we want to do it, but how do we actually do it? In 1 John 5:4, we have, "For whatsoever is begotten of God overcometh the world, and is the victory." And this is the victory or means of success that overcometh the world, even our faith. So it's our faith that provides the means for this success. And this idea of faith is from 4102, which is pistis, which is credence, conviction of religious truth or truthfulness, especially reliance upon Christ for salvation. So there, Mr. Strong is exactly correct. And he also says this is constancy in such profession. Constancy. Overcoming. Constancy. You never give up. You don't give up. You continue to rely on God. And three things came to mind. We have to place all things in the Lord's hands. We all know that. We have to realize that the battle is the Lord's, and we don't use carnal weapons in that warfare. We do those three things, and that's very, very closely related, be very helpful in that overcoming process. Well, the two examples from the Scriptures I wanted to mention was one in the case of David, which we're all familiar with. I'll just read the account briefly. Yes, with David and Goliath. "And he took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even in a scrip. And his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth, and ruddy, and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, Am I a dog, that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air, and to the beasts of the field." Then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with a sword and a spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand into his bag and took thence a stone and slang it and smote the Philistine in his forehead, and the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. And I like to think of this as no carnal weapon. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of the sheath thereof and slew him and cut his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. So here's one who realized that the battle was the Lord's, full of faith, ran to meet him. Here's an example of overcoming, a very flamboyant example in the scriptures. We'd like to briefly read one more. Ananias with Saul. This was after Saul had been out gathering up the Christians, bringing them back to be stoned. And after, on the road to Damascus, he saw the vision of our Lord, and he was blinded. And after waiting, I believe, for 3 days, the Lord said to Ananias, and the Lord said unto him, arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. Ananias was very trepidatious about this. He was going to go to the murderer of the Lord's people. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. Both of these examples, tremendous illustrations of overcoming normal people with an extreme faith and reverence for the Father, for his will, placing all in his hands. What we'd like to share with one another today is our overcoming in this narrow way. We'd like to open the meeting to you, dear brother. Who would like to be first today? Brother Alan. And we'd ask that you wait till the microphone gets there, and that you give your name and their home ecclesia for the test of the tape.
Hello. Some time ago, I came home, Vince, and I wrote up my testimony, with this testimony meaning mine. So it was fresh in my mind then. I just wanted to read it the way it came out of my mind and heart at that time. So I wrote this. I wanted to testify about a recent experience I had where I could see clearly that the Lord was involved. These are the most faith-strengthening experiences for me because they increase my awareness of just how near and how involved the Lord is in our lives. If we keep our spiritual eyes open, we can see the Lord's hand in our lives constantly guiding us in ways that help us to overcome. One day I rode my bike to a nearby park that I often go to sort out my thoughts, to think about my experiences, and have a little talk with the Lord about how I might improve certain areas of my character along the lines of fleshly weaknesses. I was fairly frustrated and actually a bit discouraged with one particular area of my flesh that I couldn't seem to make satisfactory progress in overcoming. It seems like I faltered this one spot in my character over and over again. I'll have some victories, but far too many defeats, and I was beginning to despair of ever overcoming this particular area. While I was thinking these thoughts, I was sitting at a picnic table facing a horse arena, which is about 75 yards away. There was a contest going on in the arena where each contestant rode their horse through a slalom course, the object being to finish the course quickly with as few faults as possible. The first few riders went through the course pretty quickly and without much trouble. Some of them didn't seem to have any faults at all. But the next rider had trouble. He went through the course cleanly until he came to this one particular spot, and then the horse faltered and would not pass through that spot. So he had to back the horse up and take it back to the beginning and start all over again. So when he came all the way back to that same exact spot, what do you think happened? The horse pulled up again. But the rider did not hesitate or show discouragement. He just pulled him back and started the course all over again. And the next time through, he took the horse through without any faults. As I thought about this, I saw that the Lord was trying to show me a lesson. It was the exact picture at the exact time that I needed it. He was saying to me, that horse is your flesh, and that rider is your new creature. Do not be discouraged. I want you to persevere in this matter. And if you keep trying with my help, it will get through the course in a way that is satisfactory to me. And just in case I didn't get it, at about the same time, our class was having a study where our pastor made the analogy that our flesh can be like a young colt that rears up sometimes, but the new creature needs to assert control as quickly as possible to be pleasing to the Father. Our pastor also wrote in reprint 5686, they, new creatures, will prove the measure of their love and loyalty by the way in which they fight against sin and the desires of the flesh, and especially against a rebellious spirit in their own flesh. Also, I really appreciated this from Brother Benjamin Barton. If I thought I had to make an overcomer of myself, I would give up right now. I realize that my Heavenly Father is so marvelous in His wisdom and grace that He can make an overcomer out of me. If not, He is not Almighty. He could not if my will stood in the way. My part is to be willing and desirous that the Lord will have it so. Pilgrim Echoes, page 352. Now that experience was a great blessing to me to realize that the Lord cares about me so much, to go to all that trouble to teach me that lesson and to encourage me so much just when I needed that type of encouragement. And as I said earlier, to know that He is with me by my side in this walk, trying to help me to be an overcomer, is such a wonderful blessing. I see that I should never be discouraged. And I ask an interest in your prayers that I may overcome the discouragement that I fall into at times, as I will pray for you also. Thank you, Brother Harris.
It's the desire for that success and that constant trying that the Lord really appreciates. That's what will build our character for the other side of the veil. We appreciate that very much. There was a hand here. Sister Rosemary.
I'm from Florida, and I bring the love of my other sister in the class, Sister Joni Schott. And Sister Joni's mother is probably on her last days, and Joni may soon be going to a funeral. And Joni has other many problems, and she needs your prayers. She sends special love to each of you, especially those that she knows very well. And also I bring the love of my children, Sister Sally and Brother Ed Heidelbach, and also the love of Sister Ruth Millard and her husband Tom. She's my Thursday study buddy. We always get together on Thursdays and go to lunch, and we take the article for the manna for the week, for the testimony text, and we study ahead, and we underline and highlight all the points we want to bring out. And when we get together, it seems as though we've each one underlined the same thing. And we really bless one another in this study. I really appreciate her. And I also, once in a while, get together with Sister Hazel Moore. And we go to lunch and we have a little fellowship together. And these things all encourage me and help me because really I am alone. And I thought I would share some things that the brethren encouraged me to share with you. And that is that one thing, I would very often forget the song in the night because when it's that time of night, I'm so tired, I just head for the bedroom and forget it. And someone suggested I do it in the morning. So in the morning, I go out on my porch where the birds are singing, and I have my manna, and I go into the middle of the manna book, and I do the Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, or whatever day's little offering that's there. Sometimes, you know, that beautiful saying our great Jehovah, or Jehovah our God, I believe it's called. That's a Saturday. And then there's the Lord, the 23rd Psalm, and then there's the vow and the morning resolve. Whatever the day it is, I use those. And then I do this song in the night. And it usually complements the manna. So I have a wonderful devotion there alone with the Lord. And then years ago, when I was left alone, I thought, well, I could sit at home and cry and feel sorry for myself, but I just keep going. I determined that I would go to all the conventions that the Lord would allow me to go to, and that I would get with the brethren as often as I could and meet and study and do all the things I just mentioned. And sometimes when I get lonely, I go over to Castleberry and spend time with the sisters over there and Brother Jimmy. And I have two rooms over there awaiting me. Sometimes I call and say, I'm coming. And they say, come on. And we have extra studies together. And that's a pick-me-up. It gives me strength to go on and courage. And sometimes very often when I sit down in the evening to study, the minute I ask the Lord to bless my study and start on the first paragraph, so often my mind wanders off. Oh, I forgot to do this, or oh, I got to do that in the morning. So I quick make a note, throw it on the floor, and keep right on going. And then later I can pick that up and do it. So I just try to send my mind where it should be. And then just today at noon, I was talking with a sister. She was lamenting that she didn't feel she redeemed the time. But I said, sister, you can study an hour, then you can take the next hour and you can digest what you studied and think about it and call up other things that are related to that subject. And then you have many hours to put it into practice. And not only that, but your life is a prayer. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed. So we're always in an attitude of prayer. And so truly we are redeeming the time a lot of times that we don't think we're redeeming it. And I think I've told you before, I took from my ear text Psalm 73:26, which is, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And this has been a wonderful strength for me this year. And another thing I've been working on very hard this year is joy. I knew there were so many graces, brotherly love, and patience, and kindness, and gentleness, and many things, but I forgot there's joy. So I must be joyful. And so I'm trying real hard to be more joyful. And I pray for all of you that we can use some of these points together to overcome and be joyful. Thank you.
Thank you, Sister Rosemary. We appreciate those thoughts. Being alone can be quite a trial. but realizing that we're really not alone and that our brethren are only a phone call away, and we are all here to help one another make our calling election sure. It really is a team effort. And although the parable of the sheep and goats really applies to the mediatorial phase of the kingdom, our responsibility is to help one another, not just to help ourselves. We really appreciate you sharing those things with us. May the Lord bless you. Who would be next to share with us overcoming experiences? Sister Linda McClugan up here in front.
Sister Linda McClugan, and I'm from the ecclesia that meets in Mahomet, Illinois. And we've had a really fresh experience of overcoming. On Thursday, when we were supposed to be preparing to come to the convention, the events of the day, without going into them in detail, had become very discouraging. And not very upbuilding, and was just a lot to deal with. And about 4:30 in the afternoon, I thought, I need to call my dear sister Karen. And I know it was the Lord that put that thought there, because in talking to her, she was very positive and more than anything else was willing to listen to the events of the day. And I guess that's why I appreciated so much the brother that brought out how it is our brethren that help us overcome. And this was just a very good lesson in that. And also that there are brethren that we feel we can put our confidence in, and we know that they won't share that with others unless we want them to, and we feel very free to express our problems to. So I'm very thankful to the Heavenly Father that I have a dear sister in the class that I can do that with. And I would just ask an interest in your prayers that I would also see these opportunities to help my brethren overcome.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sister Linda. We appreciate that. Well, we know that many are the trials of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth them out of them all. And we have these ones who can help us realize that the exceeding great and precious promises apply to us. It's easy to see that they apply to all of our brethren, but when you look in the mirror, that's when the doubts are there. So that's why we need to have one another for that mutual helpfulness, because it goes both directions. We appreciate your sharing those things with us. Who would like to be next? Sister Frances up front. Sister Frances Garrison.
Brother Harry and dear friends, I'm Sister Frances Garrison from Salem, Oregon, and I want to bring the love of the Salem class. They all voted to send their love to the convention, but especially Sister Dolores and Brother Jerry, who has been quite ill. And I wrote to her and I told her that I was going to bring their love. So I enjoyed these testimonies so much, I hardly feel like I can follow them. But I don't know, this isn't very much of an item, but I thought it helped me and I thought it might help the others. You know, at the top of each chapter in the volumes is a list of items that are contained in that chapter, and I thought it would be help to itemize. Well, I put 1, 2, 3, 4 wherever that subject is in the chapter. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I thought it would make it easier to find where that subject is in the chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going through the first volume and getting a thrill out of it. You'd think I had never studied the truth at all, because it's such a wonderful, wonderful experience. And I'm enjoying my life in Salem. I miss all of you down here, but we're all one family, and this is a new experience, and I'm getting experiences at upbuilding my character and building my patience and different little things that I'm finding about myself that I didn't realize were flaws in my character. And everybody is so wonderful to me, and Lewis and Judy have opened their beautiful home to me. I couldn't ask for anything more. And then to have Barbara and Brother Taze up there, and our Taz, and it's just been a wonderful year. And I ask an interest in your prayers that I might benefit more by my experiences. I have more time to study and more leisure time, and I want to put this to good use.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been so wonderful to be back in Mohammed as I was this year, and to spend an extra week in Ohio. Well, the Lord has just been more than good to me, and I thank Him.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Sister Frances. We appreciate the whether a mind is an old mind or a young mind, we forget things, or there are things we haven't seen before. But when we go through the volumes, they're like magic. They put new words in. They're new things that jump out of the page, that have new meanings. And the more we pay attention, the more the Lord keeps opening up that storehouse to us. So I appreciate your sharing your experiences. May the Lord bless you. We had a few more hands on over here that were just coming up. Sister Barbara?
I'm Sister Barbara Tanda from the North Seattle Bible Students. And one of the reasons I need to testify is I was asked to bring love from Sister Jean Kirkham. I talked with her just before I left to come down here, and she's a very special sister to me, and I had to give her love since she had asked me to. And I'd like to relay to the brethren here one small, small, very small victory I've had in overcoming something. I work, like so many of you all do, so I'm with worldly people most hours of the day. And we have a group of us women that go down to coffee in the morning together, and as I think men probably think, and it's probably true, women are prone to gossip. And I realized that I was taking part in this, and maybe saying something about somebody, or at least not saying anything, which is tacit approval of what's going on. And one, a brother from back east, and I cannot remember his name, he spoke at our convention this last year. There's a brother Kramer, and there's a brother Walton. He's an attorney anyway, and he relayed this experience that he had had around a table, and some of the attorneys would be talking about people, and he knew that wasn't right. So he said what he would do, he toiled with what to do, and to stop it, he would try to think of something good to say about the person that was being discussed. And he said a lot of times that would derail the train, so to speak. So I tried that, and it works. And I was very thankful that the Lord had given me the experience and the blessing of hearing the brother, for one thing, and then having the courage to stand alone sometimes, but it's been a very great blessing for me in this one small victory that I have, and I'm very thankful to the Lord. And I'm very thankful to be here. I've never been to this convention before, mm-hmm. and so far the discourses have been lovely, and the fellowship has been wonderful. And I'm very thankful that the Lord has given me the truth, and I've seen my children, three of them consecrate, and I just find it a very, very great blessing. And thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Sister Barbara. It's amazing how the if we have a problem or some situation, usually the Lord will provide the answer, the solution, in the hands of one of our brethren. So that tool is now placed into our hand and how to use it, and then the Lord is gracious to give us the opportunity to show how we will place things in His hands simply by using the tools He's given us. And we get all the benefit out of that. So we appreciate your sharing those experiences with us as well. Who would like to be next to share an overcoming experience? Sister Christina, I think, is up front.
I'm Sister Christina Kelchner. I'm from from Menlo Park, California, from the Livermore class, I guess, is where we meet with the Wearers and the Bennetts. First, I just want to respond to Sister Barbara Chanta's testimony that she just gave, and to share with her that it's not a small experience and it's not a small overcoming, and that anyone who has worked has probably run into that situation. It's a very common thing out there in the world. And I appreciated hearing her strategy about it, so I wanted to thank her for that. And I too want to share a work experience, and I shared it with the sister this at lunch, and she said it was helpful for her, so I thought I would share it here. As most of you know, I just graduated from law school in May, and I just started a new job 3 weeks ago, and it won't surprise those of you who work full-time that I kind of feel like I'm out of the pot into the frying pan. And it's the Lord really blessed me with this job, and I feel like it's a really good place for me to be, and it's also full of learning experiences. And the experience in the last 2 weeks has been that the job is very demanding, and it's the kind of job where if I don't set limits, I just end up working 12 or 14 hours a day. What I do is I'm a research attorney for the court, so I do research for judges. And what has made this harder is that my two coworkers get very worried, and they get very stressed out, and they swear a lot, and they get very upset, and they say, oh, what are we going to do? And they work very long hours, and they don't take a lunch. And it was just getting worse and worse and worse as the days went on. And so this Monday, I kind of just hit rock bottom, and came home about 8 or 9 o'clock at night and cried and talked with Brother David, and he really helped me to figure out some ways to set limits. And I prayed about it that night. And by the next morning, I thought, you know, it's so clear to me that the Lord put me in this job. I can do this job because the Lord put me here, and it's going to work out. And I'm one person, I'm going to do the best I can do. And I went in the next day with a new attitude, and I was calm, and my coworkers just didn't know what to do with it. they just said, wow, you know, what's with you? And it was my most productive day that I had. And I did eat lunch at my desk, but I took the time to say a prayer before I did it. I was able to think about the Lord throughout the day, and it just really feels like an overcoming experience to me. Mm-hmm. So I shared this experience with Sister Bonnie Bennett, and she gave me some more strategies. We shared some experiences. So using the brethren is a really important tool for overcoming. And, yeah, thank mm-hmm. you.
Yeah, we appreciate that. We're told that we should be careful for nothing or not be full of care for anything in the world, because it's all in the Lord's hands. He realizes that. But to see the peace that gives to us is an amazing thing. The world is not interested in changing their character and improving it. That's not their goal. I mean, that's abundantly clear when you just walk outside. But our goals are 180 out. I mean, we're going a totally different direction. And to see that we can be in this world and yet come up with a character just like God's dear Son, it's an incredible thing that's happening for us. We appreciate you sharing those things with us. Brother Robert Bennett is next.
Brother Robert Bennett from the Antioch class. I had a couple of thoughts that I'd like to share, not so much about my experiences, but more about lessons that I've learned. I've been around for a while and made my share of mistakes, and you know, as we all do, you ask for forgiveness, and then you carry around that baggage. You know, and I keep looking back at these things, and I keep, you know, thinking, oh, why did I do that? Well, you know, I've asked for that forgiveness, and by me carrying around that baggage, you know, it's like I never accepted the forgiveness that the Lord gave. One thing that has meant quite a bit to me, it's a scripture, and it's the scripture before one of our most favorite scriptures, you know, that all the brethren know. And I'd like to read that for you, if I might. It's Philippians 3:13, and maybe I'll read the 14th so you'll recognize where it comes from. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And the thing about this scripture that means the most to me is here's the Apostle Paul, and he's saying, forgetting those things which are behind. You know, if you think about the Apostle Paul and the kind of baggage that he could have carried around, but he didn't. He moved forward. I sort of have a disjointed other reference, but that somehow fits together. And that is, it comes from a study that we had as a class study a couple months ago. There was a lovely reprint. It's reprint number 4834, and it's called Acceptable to God. And the one part of it that I loved the most was towards the end of it. There's one sentence, and it applies to some of the talks that were given. I'll read it for you. It says, "While the heights of perfection cannot be reached so long as we have these imperfect bodies, there should be in every child of God very perceptible and continuous growth in grace, and each step gained should be considered but a stepping stone to higher attainments." So the thought of, you know, once you take that step of grace, that's not the end result. You know, that's just a stepping stone to the next step of grace. Mm-hmm. And it's that continually moving forward that has been my goal. And I ask your prayers towards that end.
Thank you, Brother Robert. The excess baggage we may carry around, of things we've done in the past that we regret, we can't erase them. But the Lord's merit takes care of those things. And it's a matter of tremendous faith to properly appropriate that. And that's something, you know, that takes work every day to do that. As we get nearer the goal, we see that standard more clearly, and then we look at ourselves and we see our own imperfections more clearly. And it takes an increasing amount of faith to realize that the Lord's merit is efficacious. It does cover those things. It is sufficient for us. So, but that's an experience that we all have. We appreciate you sharing that. May the Lord bless you. Brother David Featherston Haw, up front here.
Hi, Brother Harry. I'm Brother David Featherston Haw from the Livermore class, the host ecclesia. In anticipating this meeting, I was not planning on testifying. I simply couldn't come up with any examples of how I have overcome. And it was Sister Bonnie at lunchtime, and then when I was at the podium earlier, that I realized that I do have some examples. And one example of not overcoming also occurred to me, which I'll share, lest you think that I'm overcoming all the time, which is not the case. First, a good one. The Internet, for those of you who know what that is, I'm sure you've heard of the World Wide Web. That was a big temptation for me, a time suck, not only a time suck for me, but a bad influence as well. There's a whole range of things, some incredibly good, some incredibly bad, on the Internet, and I was exposed to both. Couldn't control it. I took it off my computer. And now I can't access it, but at public computers. So I don't. When I'm at my desk, I don't have to deal with it. And for the example of not overcoming, which this convention has so far helped me with, and I won't explain the details because I'm just too ashamed of them. But because of some of the tools given to us at the platform, I now not only know what to do, but have the strength to do it. And I am thankful for that because, you know, while I've known that I need to be an overcomer in these situations, I haven't been able to do it. I haven't not been able to control myself, and I know how to do it now. And I'm very thankful for that. And the final one, an example of what Sister Bonnie shared with me was actually an example of overcoming. And after I thought about it, it was. Over the last few years, the Lord has blessed me with the career, the worldly place that He has put, laid out for me. Often, I have prayed to the Lord, only if it's Your will, feel free to take this from me, because it's really an opportunity to invest more than I'm afraid of investing more than I should of my energies in this. It's an exciting thing, and it continued for years, and then the Lord brought us down here with an opportunity to go to school in the Bay Area to work with, as you put it last night, a very whiz-bang guy. This fellow was in line for a Nobel Prize in economics, and takes very few students, and I was one of them. I'm a graduate student. And you know what? The Lord took him from me. I got to school 9 months ago, or about 11 months ago now, and 9 months after I got there, Amos died of cancer. And while I regret the loss, you know, for his family especially, the Lord has taken this from me. And let me tell you, I'm really... I mean, while it will be earthly opportunities missed because this man can open many doors that others cannot, I'm glad because I actually don't care. And let me tell you, that's a big relief when I can honestly say I don't care about this earthly advancement. I don't know what the Lord's going to do. I'm kind of an orphan at this point in where I am, you know, as far as not having an advisor. Transferring is an option, and Christina and I are just going to wait in the Lord to see what He brings forward. And I could have done this 2 years ago, been carefree about this, and I am. And that's overcoming, and I rejoice in that.
Mm-hmm. We appreciate that very much, the both experiences that you related. Because when we ask ourselves, well, what do we know about the development of a divine being, an embryo, new creature? The answer is essentially nothing. We have to place that in the Lord's hands, so He gives us the information. We have to take it and use it. If we don't use it, it's child abuse. We have this little embryo that's growing, and we don't want to be... Child abuse is a very serious thing for an embryo, new creature. But He gives us the instruction. We take that, and we see that tremendous weight is lifted off our shoulders. Take the decisions away from the flesh, have the new creature make them, and not only is life a more beautiful thing, but we make our calling election sure. We really appreciate your sharing those things with us. May the Lord bless you. More experiences with overcoming. Who would like to be next? A brother in the back of the room. Always. I'm sorry, is there a hand I did not see?
Who were you pointing to?
Oh, I was pointing to Brother Perry Robinson.
Oh.
He's our technical person in the back.
Okay. Let's see if we can do this without feeding back here, huh? No, that'll be fine. Let's just get in closer. I look at overcoming from the long haul. I also look at it in the future, forgetting those things that are behind. And what we're talking about here in our experiences is not only looking back at mistakes made to not repeat or successes to try to repeat, but to the future. And I think a very good tool for every single one of us will be time management. Sister Christina began to talk about that. And so what you might ask yourself, what I ask myself, in fact, I have it at the top of my computerized to-do list every day, and live each day as if it were your last. Now, if you got a tap on the shoulder from the Lord and he said, today is your last day, how would you spend your time? You know, well, you say, well, okay, I'd read in the volumes a little bit. I'd read in the Bible a little bit. Maybe do a little physical exercise to keep the earthen vessel tuned up enough that you don't fall asleep when you're trying to study in the volumes and in the scriptures. Proper nutrition. Taking care of your job so that your avocation so that you have a place in which to do those things. You can pay the rent. Whatever, you know, but you could write down all of those things, and if you, looking at it from the long haul, allocate your day into those categories, and what we had found is that sometimes we're so busy that we didn't have time. We wanted to study the volumes. We thought that we were studying the volumes on a regular basis, but if you'd actually write down on a piece of paper over the last 6 to 12 months how much progress had you made through the volumes, and you'd be surprised. I think every one of us, if we haven't done this exercise, would be surprised how much we thought we had done and how little we had actually done. And so what we did was just implemented a little time management program where we got up 2 or 3 hours earlier in the morning, which was difficult and required going to bed 2 or 3 hours earlier at night, by the way. And to study the first hour in the morning, study the volume for an hour. And second hour is for answering letters from the brethren with respect to doctrinal questions, things like that, or maybe reading in the reprints or something that is more kind of joy reading as you're going through other things other than the volumes. But we always want to be in the volume. That's where we got the truth. We didn't get the truth from the reprints. We didn't get the truth from other books. We got it from the volume. So that's paramount as far as I'm concerned. Everybody here probably agrees with that. And then, of course, you have to get ready, and so you get ready for work, so you eat properly. Somebody from the platform had referred to that, and I think that's important, to eat as unto the Lord, drink as unto the Lord, those kind of things. And then you do your avocation. You get that 8 hours or whatever it is out of the way, and you can compartmentalize that to the lesser amount of time, and you'll find, as Sister Christina had said, that if you don't feel guilty about not having studied the volumes for the last couple of days, you'll be more effective, more efficient in the 8 hours that you do put in at work as opposed to trying to put in 10 or 12 hours or whatever. You'll find that the Lord will bless it. You'll get more done in a lesser amount of time. And you can, if you're driving to work, I don't drive anymore because my office is in my home, but I used to listen to the volume tapes driving to work in the morning. And or the scripture tapes. And then in the evening, Sister Kathy and I have a special thing with reference to overcoming is the 8 o'clock hour. And at 8 o'clock in our house, one or the other of us will tap the other one on the shoulder, either figuratively or actually, and it's time to sit down, and we have the scriptures on tapes, and there's a 45-minute tape, they're 90-minute tapes, 45 minutes aside, and we'll read through the scriptures for one side of a tape in the evening from 8 to 9 o'clock. And then when we're finished, we'll try to go lights out at 9 in order to get up that early to do all these good things that we have been doing and want to do. The hour from 7 to 8 also can be used in the Lord's service. The point is, now, here's a really important point. You'll write this your goals down, your time management plan down, and guaranteed, sooner or later, and probably sooner, you're going to find that you do not successfully fulfill all of those things that you've written down. This can be a source of guilt. But look at your success in these things from zero up and not from goals down. Don't do 99 things and go and say, why, I didn't do number 57 today. Rather say, praise the Lord, we're able to do 99 things in the Lord's service today. So look at it from zero up and not from goals down when you're rejoicing over your privileges that you have utilized. So we thought time management was really important as far as overcoming. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Brother Perry. We appreciate that as an example of making straight paths for our feet. And as all the feet in the room here are a little different from one another, the approach to those things would be different. But when we look at ourselves, that when we're born into this world, all we have is time, and it's a matter of how do we use it. We have all the time there is, and it's just a matter of how do we prioritize it. And when we look at the covenant we've made to the Heavenly Father, our priorities should become clear, and then it's a matter of making decisions, making choices, as was brought out earlier today. So we appreciate your sharing some of the methods that you use, and using the spirit of a sound mind, we all get to make decisions that would be best for ourselves. We have a few more minutes. Five more minutes. Okay. Do we have another testimony, Brother Larry, right up about the middle here?
Brother Larry Roberts of the Antioch Ecclesia, and dear brethren, I'm very happy to be here and bring the love of Sister Ellen and her mother, Sister Evelyn Rodell. Both of them would have liked to have been here, but circumstances came up where they had to be back east, but you're definitely in their thoughts and prayers. I've enjoyed each of these testimonies, and overcoming is just the tool Brother David brought. The tools we're getting are just fabulous, and there's a couple things in my life that time management involvement, it's just the Lord just brought this all together and that I can work on now, and I appreciate that. Had a little experience coming down yesterday. We pulled off the expressway and we're about a half a mile from the hotel, and my car overheated. My old nature would be I have to take all the time to get this car fixed and forget about what I'm here for, and also withdraw from the things I'm really supposed to be doing and take care of whatever comes up. I've had some real difficult experiences in the last month or so, and that seems like they come around convention time. I asked the Heavenly Father for His guidance and for strength to get through those, and as always, He was faithful, and I thank Him for that. Thank Him for each of the brethren, and I'm finding out how important it is that we can go to brethren. A week and a half ago, I wasn't going to come to the convention. I wasn't going to go to class for a few days because I had to think things through. And Sister Ellen just made one little statement. The worst thing you can do is withdraw. And that was another thing my old nature used to like to do, was withdraw from what was in front of me. Just a couple minutes of talking with Brother Allen after class on Sunday changed my whole outlook. And I appreciate him, each member of our class, and the Heavenly Father for putting people there, brethren there, when we need them the most. And so this morning I told the Heavenly Father, I'm here to get a blessing. Just get the car someplace so I don't have to be thinking about it anymore. I called the phone number, which was about 8 miles away. Sister Kathy Ross said she would follow me over there. They said they'd put it on diagnostic and check it out for me. I didn't think about it all morning. After we had lunch, I went and called from the room. They said it'd be ready in about 45 minutes, that they'd had it completed. It was a motor had burned up. Electric fan motor had burned up. And that would have been 1 o'clock, so Sister Kathy told me this morning that she'd be glad to take me over there since she knew the way to pick it up. We left about a quarter to 1, walked back in here. Brother Ed started playing the piano, and the car's out in the parking lot being fixed. So that's how perfect the Lord's timing is, and I thank Him so much that I had not missed 1 minute of the convention. And the old nature would have missed probably most of the morning worrying about the car getting fixed and getting home on Monday. And I thank the Heavenly Father for that, that He gives me the strength to overcome daily. Today is the day I have to overcome, as Brother Perry said. If it was the last day, today's the day that I have to overcome. And each little overcoming will make my overcoming successful in the goal that I have. So each of you brethren are very dear to me, and I'm very thankful that each of you are here. And this convention has been just a special blessing so far, and I pray for all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Larry. In experiences like this, the adversary would love to divert our attention, but the Lord just lets us know, you can make your calling election sure, even though your car doesn't run today. So I appreciate you sharing that with us. Okay. I've just been told we have to close for now, but we do have another testimony meeting tomorrow. So please hold your thoughts, because we don't want to go away missing any of the experiences you have to share. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Brother Harry, and thanks to you, those who testified and those who listened. Same time, same place tomorrow for those of you who want to testify before the end of the convention. We'll ask Brother Harry to close the testimony meeting with prayer.
Dear Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most holy and precious name. Dear Father, we give thee thanks for this opportunity that we've had to share the experiences of overcoming with one another. And we give thee thanks